I'm going to ask you to welcome the Holy Spirit into this place this morning. I don't know what kind of a week that you've had, but I want to explain this to you. It really does not matter what kind of a week you have had. God has caused you to be able to stand no matter what's gone on in your week. He's kept breath in your lungs. And let all that have breath praise Him. Amen. Y'all begin to welcome the Lord into this service. I'm going to ask you right now to think long and hard. Is there anybody that you have held in unforgiveness? If you're having trouble forgiving somebody, I encourage you to lift them up to God right now. Unforgiveness is a prayer blocker. I can tell you that. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now. God, that hearts are touched in here. Father, I thank you that you're walking up and down every single aisle, that you're stirring hearts. Lord, that you're changing hearts. Father, I lift up every person to you. God, I ask that you'd help them in every way that they need it. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. We will not have church this evening, but we have had some really, really great Sunday night services. I encourage you, if you're not coming to Sunday evening service, I encourage you to try that service out as well. It's always at 5:30 on Sunday evenings, but we will not have it tonight. Y'all try to enjoy your day. Soak it in. If you've just been busy and you need rest, I encourage you to rest. You know, it's okay to rest. And you should. Y'all look wonderful today. How many of you are cold? Okay. Warren, let's turn that up a smidge, okay? I said, now, Warren, if you ever see me and I'm going like this, that means turn that air back on. Well, I love you guys this morning. I'm not your normal pastor. I'll say things that normal pastors wouldn't say, but I would remind you to ask yourself this question. What is normal? What is that? And let's try not to be that. God has a supernatural life for you, and He wants you to enjoy your life. And if you're not enjoying your life, I want you to just begin to ask God, Lord, what changes do I need to make to where I can enjoy life? I want to open up with a little story, and I want to talk to moms this morning, but I'm not only talking to mothers. I'm really talking to everyone. You all have a mother. You may like your mother and you may not like your mother, but that is what it is. We're not here to talk about that today. I have learned that there's things that you can open up in a service and you don't want to open them things up. There's some cans of worms, they need to stay shut. So I'm trying to make y'all laugh. You guys are hard. You're kind of hard. I'm going to figure it out, though. So my mother, Mama, stand up. Let everybody see you. Amen. My mother, Millie, there is not a soul on the planet like her. And if any part of me is good or ladylike or classy, I promise you I get that from my mother. She is probably the godliest person that I know on this planet, and she has been a phenomenal mother to me. And if you're raising a child now, or maybe you've already raised one, or maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking about your mother, there's always those stories in our childhood that we think about when we think about our mom. There's pivotal moments and there's memories that we have of our mother that kind of shaped parts of our childhood. And so I'm going to tell y'all a story about mine. And believe it or not, the story about my childhood with my mother goes with our little giveaways that we're having this morning. These are little baby miniature suitcases. I wish we could do this with our problems. I mean, just minimize them suckers and just be like, okay, we're going to scoot you out of the way now. You don't exist. But this is packed full. Believe it or not, you can actually pack a lot of things in these little suitcases. They've got some tea for when you've just you're on your little box and you're needing some tea with all your gripes that you're having. There's fingernail polish in here. There's a Band-Aid that says Jesus loves you. There's little Tic Tacs. There's Advil. I mean, we have packed. Do your children ever give you like a headache? I don't know. Or life. Maybe it's just life. We can blame it on life. I don't know. But anyways, there's a lot of things packed in this little suitcase. We've got one for all of the mothers that are here in the service. We're going to draw for these ice chests, and we've got a little tulip pin for you. I like to spoil the moms because I think that mothers have an incredibly hard job. And I think that mothers deal with something that not a lot of men deal with in their parenting, and that is mom guilt. So mamas, if you're a mama in here and you struggle at times with mom guilt, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand. Okay, so probably every person that's a mom, you're like, yeah, I have mom guilt. My mother, if she had her hand up, I don't know, but she doesn't have anything to feel guilty over, and that's how I feel about it. But when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I was one of those kids that I was very hyperactive. They called me the white tornado because when I stepped foot in the church, all you could see was my very, very blonde hair that was actually looked white, and it was just like a streak running across the church because that's how fast I was. And my mother was extremely patient with me. She never did anything to make me feel like I was abnormal. Now, you'd have to understand that statement. One of my elementary school teachers on the comments section of my report card at the end of the year, she summed up what she thought of me in one little sentence, and she just said, "Kelly is very weird." And I look back and I'm thinking, she had me pegged like exact. But my mom didn't make me feel like there was a thing wrong with me. She encouraged me to be that loud, outspoken kid that I was. She did not try to act like I needed any type of anything to make me be a calm child. If she struggled with me, I never knew it. And one day, now Sister Millie is very quiet and she's very dry. If she ever makes fun of you, you will never know it until you go to bed and you're thinking about it. And you're like, I think that she was actually dissing me, and I just realized it right now. But she's extremely dry-humored, and she's very deep, and there's a lot of statements. There's a lot of times where she'll say something, and I have to let that sink in for several hours because I don't understand a lot of what she says for several hours. So she dealt with me and my sister very differently because we were different kids. And here's what I can tell you. Some of our mom guilt comes from maybe we feel like we've treated one kid differently. And here's what I can tell you after being a mother myself, ain't no kid the same. Thank God. I mean, but none of them are the same, and they are all going to need something different from you. And you're going to have to just cater to what that specific kid needs. And so try to let yourself off that guilt train. But there was one day where my mom, we had a little disagreement, her and I. And she is not the arguing type. She's the I'm going to be quiet type and let you argue with yourself type. And so I don't even remember what I was unhappy with her about, but I was very unhappy. Now, anybody that's ever known me for a length of time, I have a temper side to me. How many of y'all got a temper? It's there. It pokes the bear, it's coming out. Okay. Yes. This is my Aunt Carrie. Her and my mother look like they could be twins. It is really something, but it's been a joy to get to meet her and Hank. They're down here from California. And anyways, I was in the kitchen, and I was expressing to my mom how unhappy with her I was, and I don't remember what it was over. But she wasn't giving me my way about something, I was sure of that. And it didn't look like I was going to get my way no matter what I did. And I finally told her that I was leaving, and I was packing my bags, and I was leaving, and I was no longer going to be her child. And I was leaving that house, and I was never coming back, and I was about 7 or 8. And I will never forget this, and it's very strange, but I had a little pink plastic suitcase. And I'm telling you, it looked a lot like these suitcases. It was so spooky when I saw this come across my Facebook thing. I knew I had to get them for the Mother's Day service. And I remember traping my little self in there with my little bad-tempered self and just getting some of my favorite things, my little stuffed animals, my little clothes. And I packed that suitcase, and I went in there to tell her bye in the kitchen. We used to have a picnic table as our kitchen table. And I sat there and I told her, I'm leaving. And I ain't never coming back. I've got my bags packed. You've ticked me off. And I'm leaving. And she didn't have hardly nothing to say about that. And I thought for sure I would press her heartstrings where she'd give me my way. She saw the bag. I mean, shouldn't she know I was serious? And she just looked at me. Now, I'm going to pause that story right there because I want to explain something to you about mom guilt. I want to explain something about your kids. This is from mom to mom. There are some times where your kids, we take some things really to heart. I mean, if anybody can make you cry in your life, it could be your child. Because you love them so much, you want the best for them, and sometimes their words hit you so hard and wrong, it hurts you. And I just told her I was leaving, all the things. Sometimes your kids are saying things just to prick you. Unfortunately, sometimes they're saying things just to hurt your feelings a little bit. Sometimes they're saying things to manipulate you. So when you struggle with that mom guilt, you need to keep that in mind, because there's times where your kids, your grown kids, however old they are, your little kids, however young they are, there's times where they're going to say something and it ain't right, and you're just going to have to stand with what you've said was right and wrong. And my mama, she didn't say a word to me, not one word. And she shifted into a different type of gear than I expected. Sometimes you got to keep your kids guessing what's you're going to do next. And she started cooking. And I thought, what's happening here? And I started smelling. And I'll be darned if she wasn't cooking my favorite meal. And I thought to myself, I'm going to stick around here for just a little bit. And I put my little suitcase down on the table. And I sat there and, you know, kind of chitty-chatted with her a little bit. And, Mama, that sure smells good. Oh, man. I thought she was making me my goodbye meal. And she got done with it. And I asked her, I said, well, are you going to make my plate? She said, absolutely not. I said, well, can I have some of that? And she said, absolutely not. Now, my mother, she was not doing that out of meanness. But she was going to get to that hard-headed little kid and put her right in her place. And she said, Kelly, this meal is only for kids that love their mother and that are going to be nice to their mother, and they want to be with their mama and they want to live here in this house. And I'm telling you, I broke right there and I just began to weep and I said, Mama, I am so sorry. She said, I know you are. She said, Kelly, and she asked me this question. She said, do you want to stay here? Yes, I do. I want to stay. And she said, you know, Kelly, that really hurt my feelings when you said that you didn't want to be here with me. And she said, never say that to me again. I never said it to her again. My mother is one of my absolute most favorite people on the planet. She's what I want to be like when I get old. Somehow I'm mature enough to have a almost 15-year-old son. I'm not sure how that's possible, and I'm fixing to be 41. It's insane. But I want to talk to mamas this morning. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to get us all out so your kids can take you out to the restaurant to eat lunch. Hint. Your mama should not have to cook for you on Mother's Day. Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 11. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 11. You know, sometimes your kids leave for a season. Maybe they left over something small. Maybe they leave you emotionally. Maybe there's times in you and your kids' relationship where you're not as close as you'd like to be. There may be things that have been under the bridge, and there's just Mother's Day is just difficult, and maybe your relationship's difficult. Sometimes your kids have withdrawn because they've not made the best choices. So in Luke chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 11. We're talking about the parable of the lost son, and it says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, and let me just tell you something, there's always something about the younger kid. I don't know what it is about that, but that youngest kid is usually going to give you a little bit of run for your money. And it says, the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between them. Now, a lot of people, when they were asked to give their immature, ungrateful kid their part, before it was time, most people would want to argue with their grown child and say, no, I'm not going to do it. That's not what's best for you. There are some arguments that are better left unhad. Because they are not going to see it the right way until they just get some maturity under their belt. That maturity, unfortunately, at times comes with some experiences. And mamas, you cannot shield your kid or protect them from some hard experiences. Right. You need to allow them to have those and not try to block every little hardship for them, or else they will never learn how to deal with life. Amen. While they're under your roof, that's the best opportunity that you have, because when they get out from under your roof, it gets harder, because then they don't think they got to listen to you. I'm going to go here, and this is meddling. I'm going to explain something to y'all. Y'all are all looking like, what the heck is she about to say? I'm going to break this down to you. No, this is not the politically correct thing to say, but it is the right thing to say. If you are financially supporting your grown child, you still have the right to speak into their life and to expect them to, at some threshold, listen to you. Because if they didn't need you, they wouldn't need your money. Right. Amen? There's a problem with some of these generations, and we've got grown-up, disrespectful kids, and they're terrible to their older parents, but they still expect to be provided for. Now, if that offends you, that probably because it hits you right at your doorstep. Don't be offended at that. Understand that God's trying to help you to not buckle under what they're wanting you to keep on doing. Amen. Amen. Mary Baker's back there looking at me like, go, Pastor Kel. How many of you miss Mary when she ain't here? Yes. Amen. Amen. But it says, the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was nothing left. There was nothing left. Sometimes you're going to see your child with nothing left. That's the part where most mamas want to get in there and they just want to keep on giving and keep on doing. And I'm going to explain something to you. Sometimes God has ordained a season for your child to break them. Sometimes what your child needs is a season where they have nothing left. When your child has nothing left, they have God. Amen. There's something about being broke and being without. People start thinking. The Word of God is still the same when it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you have an unsaved older child or an unsaved child, what you need is a divine appointment for that child. Don't stop praying for them. Don't get mad at them and give them the silent treatment. Say, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, do whatever it takes to do. And Father, help me to know and not to step in your way when you're trying to correct my child. No correction is pleasant at the time. He only chastises and corrects those that he loves. If you see the Lord correcting your child, you know that God loves your child and he loves you and he has a covenant with you. He's not going to take his hands off your child, but sometimes our hands have to come up off of our child for God to do the work that only he can do. Amen. So, I love you, Brother Sam. Every pastor needs a Brother Sam. And it says, so he squandered all of the wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. He began to be in need. There's times where your kid don't need that brand new set of Nikes. What they need is you to just say, come here. Sit down, we're going to have a discussion. That is a hard thing to do with the generation that's right here and right now that we're raising, because communication has gone down the toilet. And it's hard for us to talk to our children, because us as parents, we have also become socially awkward when it comes to talking to our children and grandchildren. And one of the reasons is because we feel guilty about whatever it is that's gone on. Another reason is because they're moody. Amen. How many of you have got a moody child? And it makes you uncomfortable sometimes to talk to them. I get it. People telling me, yeah, you're in that season. You're going to be out of it in about 2-3 years. You got a little bit more to go. And I said, well, that doesn't help me, because then I got another one that's going to be. Anyhow, no two kids are the same. The thing that we all know about this account that happened is that father, he didn't go out chasing that kid, that parent. The parent in this situation, they stayed stable. They stayed secure. They stayed consistent. They didn't chase that kid. There's times where what that child needs is they need a good sitting in your own mess episode and not getting them out of everything. I've had to constantly adjust and readjust as a mom, and we have to do that. Not every situation requires Mama Bear. Okay? Some situations require Mama just sitting there and allowing the chips to fall where they're going to fall. Amen. A few weeks ago, Carson Paul here, that's the apple of my eye, he got in the car and he said, because I've told him, I've threatened him real good, I've said, if you get in this car and I don't hear what you've done, if I'm going to hear it from somebody else, you're in big time trouble. I don't want to hear surprises from anybody's mouth but yours. And he... All of our kids, they've got their own little language. I've got a huffer and a puffer, and I've got one that just, if I look at him right, he'll just spill all the beans that he's got. Now, my huffer and puffer over here, he got in the car and he started huffing. And I said, it was his huff that there's something I've done. Funny how we know our kids by their mannerisms. That's how I know mamas are some of the smartest beings on the planet, because we can read what they're saying when they're not even speaking. And I said, what is wrong? Well, Miss So-and-so gave me detention. And he was waiting to see what reaction I was going to give him, because I was trying to filter in my brain, did we deserve this detention? Or is she picking on my little baby? I said, explain the situation to me. Enlighten me. He explained it to me. And I didn't really care for it. But I was like, you know what? Tell it to me again. And I'm listening. And I said, you know what? Sometimes these teachers are just having a bad day, or you're leaving out some of this story, but I believe that that detention was fitting. Go to detention tomorrow, and I'm not going to make a big deal of this. Apparently you earned that detention, and that's what you're going to do. Whatever you've done to get it, that ought to teach you not to do it again. See, you can't be mama bear all the time. Now, that is very hard for me, because there's something about having that child. It instantly turns you into mama bear. So you're constantly fighting that fleshly mama bear to not be that person in every scenario, because they will never learn if we are that all the time. I'm still learning that. I have not arrived at that, but I am getting lots of experience with it. I was ready to leave a loving home over something that I cannot even remember right now. And that's how a lot of Christians are, ready to leave God just in a moment, just because something happened. There's something about parenting that parallels to God better than I think any other thing that we can do on the planet. When you have a child, I think that you are, in a way, you understand God in a whole new level, because you can reason with how he must feel about us. And he loves us. Go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A good mama knows what to say. A good mama knows what to say. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken, or a word in the right time, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I think there's people in this church right here, you wouldn't even be in church if it wasn't for your praying mother. Amen. Whatever I was mad at, I don't remember. But what I do remember is the words that my mother said 30-something years ago. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to read verse 26. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She speaks with wisdom. There's a wisdom that God has for mothers that we have to seek him for. I'm going to say that again. There's a wisdom that God has for mothers that we have to seek God for. There's parts of motherhood that we're not going to just instantly know how to handle them or what to do. And I don't care what age your kids are. And when we get to those places where we don't know what to do, reserve that advice for just you and God. You can call all your friends. You can call all your sisters. You're going to... The water's going to get muddied most of the time, because you're going to get just as many opinions as the people you called. There's a season for motherhood where the only person you need that wisdom from is God. God can give you that divine wisdom. And it says here, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I don't think any kid on the planet ever gets too old for mama's instruction. But what I do think is there's a time frame when they become of age that the way that you instruct them, it has to shift. If you want your child to be able to receive what you have to say, when they're old enough, it can't be what sometimes it is. You know, it has to shift in a way they can receive it. My mom, she really is a very, as good as she was with us when we were little, I think she's even better with us as grown adults. I'll tell you a sweet story about my mother. Several years ago, she fell, and she broke both of her wrists. She had a lot of problems with it, and I was just beside myself, and I was a new pastor, and that was overwhelming. And I said, I'm going to take you to your physical therapy appointments. And that was really hard for me to do in that season because I was very busy. And I felt God saying, you're going to have to just cherish being able to do this for her because she's taken care of you her whole life. And if you're somebody and you're taking care of your mother and that's heavy, there will be a time in your life where you wish you could take care of them. I know it's heavy. God's going to give you the strength that you need to do it, though. And my mom, she went in there and she told all the physical therapists. She goes, hold on. She had everybody's attention. She goes, I want to introduce you guys to my daughter. This is Pastor Kelly. And I was just ticked. And I just went out in the car and I just cried because in that season I was just having trouble with figuring out what kind of a pastor I was going to be. It was very new. And I just cried and cried and cried. And a few weeks later, I was talking to my mom and I said, Mom, you know, sometimes I don't want to be Pastor Kelly. Sometimes I just want to be your daughter. And that upset me that you introduced me as Pastor Kelly. And my poor mama, she was probably like, what the heck is wrong with this kid that I've birthed? What a jerk. And she looked at me and she goes, I'm really sorry. She said, that came from a place that I am so proud of the pastor that you are. I want to tell everybody. Amen. One of the things that I can tell you that your grown kids need to know, and they need to know it on a regular basis because we're very insecure. We may act like we got it all together, but we're busting at the seams most of the time. We need to know that our mamas are proud of us. You've got grown kids, tell them that you're proud of them. Because really, they're still that little kid that seeks your approval in many, many ways. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 9. There's been a lot of times where I did not know what to say to my kid. How many of you mamas, sometimes you're at a loss and you don't know what to say. And I just said, you know, I believe that mamas know the right things to say. Here is one of the best verses to pray over your motherhood. And this is when God called Jeremiah and he told him he was going to be a prophet. And Jeremiah told him every reason he couldn't be one. And one of the reasons is because he couldn't speak. He was only a child. And in verse 9, then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth. And he said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. And there's times when you're at a loss for words in your motherhood where you may need to pray this verse over your life. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you would reach down and I ask that you would touch my mouth. Lord, let me live out Proverbs where words and wisdom are fitly spoken. God, give me the right words. Lord, make it be in the right time. See, sometimes mamas, they're saying the right thing, but it's just not at the right time. And there's things that God's ordained for your kids that they're going to go through, and it's the right time to say it then. So ask God, Lord, put those words in my mouth. Lord, let me know in the right moment. There's a divine appointment for mothers to be able to speak into their kids' life and it be received. Because sometimes kids have a hard time receiving what you're saying. They're a little bratty. It's important for mamas to stand their ground. I remember I was just a little booger, and I still am. I've gotten a lot better, but I look back at some of the things that I said to my mom, and then I think about her responses, and I'm like, how does anybody get that good? I don't know. I remember when I was about 15 years old, my mom and dad had drove separately, and it was on a Wednesday night. Can I just keep it real? It was not easy growing up in the ministry. It was very difficult. And I was always trying to get a rise out of my mama because I never could get one. So I tried anything and everything to just get her going. She never did. She's just even keel. And she had a green RAV4 for a lot of my childhood. Them things last forever. Get one. And I was mad at Dad about something, because me and Dad were a lot alike. And I got in that car and I slammed that door and I was sitting in the front seat with her. And I was talking. This is terrible what I'm about to say, but I'm going to tell it. I looked at my mother. We were right here outside of this parking lot, and I was talking about Dad or something. I don't know. I was irritated. I was being terrible. She never did allow me to speak bad about him. She honored him behind his back my whole childhood. And that's important for your kids, because your kids want to cause division every chance they get. Anyhow, I said, I don't even think I believe in Jesus. Oh, my gosh. I was very manipulative, okay? She slammed on them brakes, and she got this close to my face. And she said, don't ever say that again. And she held out her hand, and she said, God holds your very next breath in the palm of his hand, and that is reason enough for you to believe in who he is. Amen. Mama had to set me straight multiple times. And she did it in a way where I could receive it every time. But you know, the Word of God in Psalm 23, it says, he prepares a table before me. Mamas are a part of that. You want your kid to sit at God's table, you better teach him about God. You better teach him about God. If you think that it's hard to have your children in church, try raising them without Jesus and see how hard it is for you to take what they do with their life. And it don't kill you to make a service. There's lots of parents, and you're doing everything for your kids. But if you neglect showing them who God is, it's not enough to just show them. You got to train them. You got to raise them in his house. You got to let that be a part of their life. It'll be a regret that you have if you don't. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hello, little Oakley, you sweet baby. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read here in verse 3 through 5. I remember that picnic table that used to be in our kitchen. And my mom would just about have to hog tie me to get my homework done. Every night. There were some nights she would get so frustrated she'd erase my paper. She'd make me start all over again. I remember when I was little. How many of you ever had a kid and they didn't like to take a bath? I was that kid. It's funny because now I like to take multiple baths in a day. Y'all turn that music down just a smidge. I was thinking about my mom. Motherhood means more to me the older I get. And my mom always tried to meet me in that place where she was making me grow, but she wasn't just taking away who I was at the same time. Now, that's a hard thing to do. But she did that, and that was, I don't know how she did it. I'm trying to learn it. And I didn't like to take baths. I would be outside all day. I didn't like to brush my teeth, all of the things. I was very tomboyish. And she would say, Kelly, just let me wash your hair in the sink. And Rita, I was about this tall, and she'd pick me up, and she'd clear off the dish strainer. She'd clear all the countertop off, and I would scrunch up, and I'd lay on the sink counter, and she'd put my head in the sink, and she'd just wash my hair. And then I remember one day, it was bath day. She wasn't going to let me get out of the bath that day. So she made me take a bath. It was the bath day. And when I got out of there, I went to bed, and my older sister, Casey, who was 5 years older than me, she threw mascara in my bed. And when I woke up, I looked like a zebra. I was just had black mascara from head to toe. And my mom opened that door and she turned that light on and she said, oh my gosh. And I was looking and she scrubbed me so hard. I was crying hysterically and I was looking at Casey and I was thinking, you're going to get it. I'm going to do something God awful to you. And I kept telling my mom, she did this on purpose. She knows I don't like to take a bath. But mom refereed between Casey and I a lot. Sometimes you feel like all you do is tell them no. Sometimes you feel like all you do is have to be the one that opposes them or the one that has to be hard on them. I'm also learning this. It's important that you're hard on them at times because that's called a standard. Say that one more time for us, Angel. Sometimes we got to be hard on them because that's a standard. And if we are raising a generation and they have no standards, they will have no morals. Raise godly kids. If you're out of your mama raising and there's things that you wish you'd have done better, you're still a mama. Keep on going. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. This is Paul. He's writing to Timothy. He loved Timothy like a son. And he says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Here's Paul. He's writing to Timothy and he says, I've been reminded about just how faithful and godly that you are. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Timothy had a sincere faith inside of him. He did not get it on his own. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it now lives in you also. The best thing that we can ever do for our children, no matter how old they are, is give them Jesus. In our prayers, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, in how we deal with them, and how we raise them, and how we communicate with them when they get older. Mother, do you have, come up here. I don't know what you'd say, and I didn't tell you to say anything specific, but I think you're the one of the most wisest people that I know. Amen. Tell them whatever you want to say.
Well, it's just like she said.
It's on.
Each child is unique. And you can't really compare them. So don't even try. Just be patient. They each have a gift and a calling. Allow God to work in them. And don't neglect your duties as a Christian mom.
I got in trouble every time I came to church in my childhood. I mean, every time the doors were open, I was in trouble. That was awful. And my mom, she would cry and she would say, "Kelly, can you just be good?" And I would say, "I'm really trying." And she said, "I am going to pray a prayer for you." And one day she prayed and she said, "Father, please help Kelly Mae to start being good in church. But Lord, if she can't, just cause her to sleep in all the church services." And I did a lot of them. All right. We are going to, Miss Sherry, did we get every woman that came in here? And where is my bowl? Okay. Sherry's been looking around. We're going to give these beautiful eyes.